CRB.
And a very good morning to you, John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group, back with you for another program of The Law and You here on 4CRB. As always, it's your opportunity to get free legal advice between now and 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock daylight saving time. All you need to do is get on that telephone as soon as you possibly can. 55208888 is the number. That number again, 55208888. Please don't leave those calls to the last 5 minutes or 10 minutes of the program where sometimes we get quite a bank up of calls and have to take some off air. We'd much rather talk to you on air so we can not only help you but also our other listeners as well. And someone who is very quick out of the blocks this morning is Joan. Good morning, Joan. How are you today?
Hello, John.
How can we help?
This is a question about my will and my home.
Sure.
Can I leave? I've left my home to somebody, obviously. Mm-hmm. Now, can he live in there until probate's declared or without any special notes on my will?
The estate is controlled by the executor.
Yes, he is the executor.
Oh, well, if he's the executor, then yes, there wouldn't be any real problem at all because he could basically make that decision. There's no reason why, if the property's left to him under the will, he could not move in and stay there immediately following your passing because he's the ultimate beneficiary of the property. That would be subject, of course, only to any claims that might be made against your estate by any other persons. But if there's no likelihood of your will being contested or anyone making a claim, then that would be the only circumstance under which, if there was some adverse order made, ultimately he might have to move out. But in the normal course of things, if he's the executor, you've left the property to him under your will, absolutely no reason why he could not move into the property immediately following your passing.
Thank you very much, John.
Okay, then, Joan.
Just as a quick interest.
Yes.
If this did run into trouble, what would happen to the house? Would it just sit there for a year or until probate was passed?
It's one of those situations that depends. Normally, the executor, if in a situation where the property hasn't been left to someone and it's just part of the estate, normally the executor would arrange the timely sale of the property. So that may well take place in a relatively short space of time after probate's been obtained. If probate was required, or if no probate was required, then it could take place sooner. The proceeds of sale and the property would still, of course, be subject to any potential claims on the estate. And as a general rule of thumb in Queensland, people have 6 months within which to notify a claim and then a further 3 months within which to commence it. After the 6 months, the executor can start the distribution of the estate, but if they do get a notification of a claim between the 6 and the 9 month mark, then they obviously have to stop distributing and take notice of that claim as long as the proceedings are commenced within the nine months.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Okay, Joan, all the very best. And we say a very good morning to Chris. G'day, Chris. How are you today?
Good morning.
Yes, Chris, how are you?
Not too bad.
That's good. How can we help?
Yeah, could you just tell me, we've got a problem with an accountant. Mm-hmm. Do the files belong to him or to us?
The files belong to you. So the normal situation is, are you changing accountants?
Yes, and we've now discovered we have a very big problem. Mm-hmm. He's given some bad advice.
Right.
And I'd like to get my hands on some of the paperwork, but he's disregarding all the calls from the new accountant, the emails and the phone calls, and he's disregarded mine, even though I did go into the office to sabotage. I tried to do it nicely, and we've been with this company for like 20 years.
Right.
I think he knows that he made a mistake.
That there's a problem, yes. Well, there's normally an arrangement between accountants, which I'm sure your new accountant has complied with, where they send what's called an ethical letter from one accountant to the other, and it says, is there any ethical reason why I should not be able to take over? If they're failing to hand over the paperwork, is the person a CPA or a chartered accountant? Do you know?
Oh,
The former accountant, are they a certified practicing accountant, a CPA, or a chartered accountant?
Yeah, they're a big CPA. They're a fairly big company.
Yeah, well, you should. Well, look, if they don't comply, one thing you could do would be to write to the managing partner or the senior partner, or contact the managing or senior partner, unless that's the person you've been dealing with. And the other alternative.
Okay,
right. Well, the other alternative then would be to take the matter to the CPA organisation. So contact the local office of the Certified Practising Accountants, explain the problem, and they will hopefully get on to the accountant and advise them that they must comply with their legal requirements and hand over the papers.
Okay, because my other alternative would seek a taxation lawyer.
Well, look, I think I would first go to the CPA organisation, and you should be readily able to find them on the internet, and just contact them. Have you spoken to your new accountant about options of how to get hold of the papers?
Yes, I did, and he is trying to talk to me about holding off for a little bit.
Well, but as I say, you know, the new accountant really should ring. The new accountant could ring the old accountant and say, "Look, you know, we've been after these papers. You know, why are they not being handed over? The client is indicating that if they're not handed over, that she intends to report the matter.
Yeah,
something of that nature might be possible.
I think he's made another big mistake.
Yes,
and he made one last year, and we wore it and paid the fine. And I've found a copy of my notes where he'd given me the advice. But it's my word against his. So yes, but we are entitled to get, especially if it's involving our super fund.
Oh, absolutely.
So we're entitled to that information.
Yep.
Okay.
All right then.
You.
Okay, Chris.
Thank you very much.
All the very best. And with the time just past 20 minutes to 10, 20 minutes to 11, daylight saving time, we say a very good morning to Julie. G'day, Julie. How are you today?
Oh, good, thank you.
That's good. How can I help you today?
I was just asking about, I don't know if that's in John's league, for properties.
Mm-hmm.
So two doors down, an old house was sold and they've taken it away. And now all of a sudden there's a lovely big picture of what's going up there.
Mm-hmm.
A three-store apartment, and from looking at that, I have from my apartment, which is a penthouse two doors down, and I have beautiful views of all of Surface Paradise, from my bedrooms and balconies, and I'm about to lose the lot. And I'm just wondering whether are they supposed to put up a sign or anything to say this is what's going to be done, and if you have any objections.
Well, it depends on the zoning of the property, but it sounds to me as if the particular construction they're going to do on this property is what is referred to as of right. So it sounds to me as if the zoning of the property is such that they're entitled to build a block of units on it. And unfortunately, in those situations, there's very little that you can do. I believe that in New South Wales, in certain council areas, they have what are referred to as rights as to view. I just can't think of the precise term they use for it, but to the best of my knowledge, there's no similar provisions, certainly in the Gold Coast, where you have a right to a particular view. And, you know, I've seen that demonstrated a few times in developments that have taken place where, you know, the development might be on a hill. And Goodwin Terrace at Burleigh Heads, of course, comes to mind immediately, where there have been blocks of units built along Goodwin Terrace which have taken the view of homes higher up the hill. And to the best of my knowledge, unfortunately, Julie, there's nothing you can really do about it. The only thing I could suggest you do would be to contact your local councillor and just have a word to them about it, whether there is anything in your particular area. But if the property that they're now building on is zoned for what they're going to do, they're complying with whatever height limits may apply to the property.
I think
I think you might be stuck with it.
Yes, unfortunately.
Mm.
Anyway, thank you so much for your time.
Okay, Julie.
Day.
Sorry I can't help.
Thank you.
Cheers now. Bye now. And time on 4CRB just continues to march along. It's just coming up to 16 and a half minutes to 10, 16 and a half minutes to 11. The Law Review is the program, 5520888, the number if you have a question or a query. That number again, 5520888. Please don't leave those calls to the last 10 minutes of the program where often we get a bank up. If you have a question or a query, give us a call right now, 5520888. And we say a very good morning to Les. G'day, Les. How are you? Les, are you there?
Yes.
How are you today?
Yeah, good, thanks.
That's good. How can we help?
My son and my daughter and grandson in 2012 bought two cars on hire purchase due to circumstances. At the moment, they're trying to finish the payment of it, or try to. Work out how they can finish it off because there's still 3 years to go with the payments.
Holy smoke, that's a long HP if they bought them in 2012, Les. That's eight years.
Eight years.
I've never heard of a finance contract that long.
Yeah, well, I was just wondering how because they're over probably two thirds of it now. How there is any way of apart from paying out an astronomical amount to finalise it, if there's any other options that they can do to get out of this hire purchase.
Well, they shouldn't, depending on the terms of the HP contract, and my experience with most of these where it's car finance, there shouldn't be an astronomical amount to pay to get out of the contract. Basically, there would be what's referred to as the balloon payment that is due to pay, which is basically the balance. And normally, the interest is only payable up to the date when you pay it out. So, for example, if you or you get a payout figure from the financier, and that will tell you how much you're due still to pay. So, did they take any? Did they have any? Balloon payment at the end? Did they finance it at, say, with a 20% or a 30% balloon, or did they just finance the total amount over 8 years?
As far as I'm aware, it was just the total amount.
Total amount over the time. Okay, so if they pay out now, it will be whatever balance of principal, or it should be, whatever balance of principal is still due to be paid, because every month they'd be making a payment which consists of principal and interest. And so the principal amount is reducing the amount that they originally borrowed, and the interest is paying the interest. So they should be able to ask the financier for a payout figure, and that payout figure should only include interest to the date that they pay the loan out. So whatever they pay, whatever they finally pay, should only be the balance of the principal then due and owing.
Yeah, look, I asked him briefly on to try and get that payment figure. He's having a bit of trouble getting the payment figure through the company, but he has indicated to me for the two cars, it's something like in the vicinity of $54,000.
Goodness now, me! What did they buy? A couple of Rolls Royce?
Yeah, well that's what I think.
But
one of them was a Lancer, and the other one was a Ford Territory.
Right.
Now, you know, both of them in total wouldn't have cost them that much if they'd paid just a normal amount.
Well, I'm not really sure about the prices of the vehicles, but it should be possible to get hold of a copy of the contract to see what interest rate they're paying. I mean, 5 years ago, the interest rate should have been reasonably low. We were still in a relatively low interest environment. So, you know, obviously I can't go into chapter and verse in terms of who the finance company is or anything like that on air, but what I would suggest you do is maybe get your grandson or your daughter to give you authority to talk to the finance company, and you contact the finance company or go in and see them if it's through a bank or whatever, and just try and sit down and just work out exactly what's due to be paid.
and nut it out.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Because they're bleeding, you know. They're,
yeah.
They're
no, I fully understand that, Les. So I think you need to go and see the financier, particularly if their circumstances have changed. But we'll just need to leave it there, Les. We've got some other callers online. Okay,
all right,
then.
John, thank you very much.
All the very best. And the time is just coming up to 11 and a half minutes to 10, 11 and a half minutes to 11. Daylight saving time. The Law on You is the program, 5520888. If you have a question or a query, and we say a very good morning to David. G'day, David. How are you today?
Well, good morning, John. Thank you.
How can I help?
I've had some work done on the roof of my house by a local roofing man, and I've had ongoing problems with leaking since then.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't get the man, this would be going on for about 12 months, but he did come back once and got up in the roof and did some more work. And it leaked again, and I've written to the man since. I've rung him, and I've sent an email, but I can't get any, he won't talk to me, and I just don't know what to do.
Right, okay. Well, look, probably what you need to do then is contact, presumably he would have had a building licence.
Yeah, he was a local bloke in the phone book. Yeah, I would think so.
Well, what I would suggest you do is contact the Queensland Building and Construction Commission and just let them know what the problem is. Do you want to take their number down?
Please, thank you.
So their number is 1300 272 272.
Are they down the Gold Coast?
Yes, they do. In fact, they have an office at Robina. I just happened to see it the other day when I was there. So it's not in the Robina Shopping Centre, but it's in one of those areas of shops nearby to the Robina Shopping Centre.
Oh, okay.
So
the Queensland Building and
Construction Commission. So if you give them a call, you could probably get the address. I just can't tell you the address offhand because I just can't remember what the name of the street is. But if you give them a call, they could probably give you the address for the local office. I've got a feeling there might, in fact, be a couple of offices on the coast.
I thought I drove past one the other day going on Reddy Creek Road into Burley on the left there, but there was something there on the left.
I think I know what you mean. I think it's actually a retail business, but the name the name looks like the Building and Construction Commission. But but if you ring them up, they'll be able to tell you where their various offices are, and you can just find one that's most convenient to you and pop in there and have a chat to them about the problem. And hopefully, if the fellow is a registered builder, they'll be able to get onto him and assist you in resolving the matter. And if he's not, then they might look at taking some action against him because he should have been.
Okay. Mm. So it's best to probably pop in and see them, I think, isn't it?
I would think that's probably the best. But if you ring them, you can at least find out where the closest office to you is so that you'd be able to do that.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, thank you very much.
Okay, David, all the very best.
Thank you. Bye now.
And the time on 4CRB has just come up to 8.5 minutes to 10. 5520888 is the number. The lines are now free. So if you have a question or a query, you could get on that telephone straight away. 5520888. Give us a call and we'll be able to answer your questions right now. We'll be back after a word from our sponsor.
Are you serious about losing weight? Vita Diet has been helping Australians lose weight and live healthier since 1987. All Vita Diet shakes, soups, bars and desserts are gluten-free, made in Australia and have been perfected over 30 years. There's a Vita Diet eating plan and yes, you do eat real food. Plus, use the Vita Diet ketone sticks to gauge your fat-burning performance. To find out how you could lose up to 3 kilos in your first week, visit vitadiet.com.au for your local pharmacy or call 1-300-SHAKES. Vita Diet. Time to try.
Another sponsor.
The sheer brilliance that is Jose Feliciano is back in Australia next March with his band for a full national tour. A career with 11 million albums and 9 Grammy Awards. This tour promises Jose's greatest hits from the 60s till now. Don't miss Jose Feliciano with special guest Wendy Matthews. Saturday, March 17, The Star, Gold Coast. Book through Ticket Tech.
Another sponsor.
And you're in tune with 4CRB 89.3 FM. The Law on You is the program, and we say a very good morning to Ray. G'day, Ray. How are you?
Good morning, John. I'm fine, thank you.
That's good. How can we help?
A quick question.
Sure.
From my accountant, I've just received a letter inviting me to join what they call the Audit Shield.
Mm-hmm.
It's at the cost of $100 per year.
Mm.
It's something that I haven't heard about before. Mm. Are you aware of this Audit Shield?
Yes, I certainly am. It's basically a program which I think a large number of accountants run, and basically the concept is that you pay, in your case it's saying $100 per annum, and it gives you a guarantee of meeting accounting fees up to a particular figure if you are audited by the Australian Taxation Office.
Okay.
And so the whole concept is that, you know, if you happen to be subject to an audit and you could possibly be out of pocket significantly for your accountant's costs of getting together the information that the ATO want and all that sort of thing.
I see.
And it'll that's basically its purpose, is to cover those costs in the unlikely event that you were to be audited. So it's really like any other form of insurance. Ray, it's one of those things where you decide whether you've got a sufficient risk or not, and whether you're concerned about it, as to determine whether you decide to do it or not.
John, my income last year, as I say, I'm over my in my 80s.
Right.
My total income was just over $8,000.
Right, okay. Well, look, I would suggest to you, Ray, that you're probably pretty clear of any likelihood that you will be audited by the Australian Taxation Office, unless there's
something
in your past that you need to worry about. But putting that aside, and I'm just being flippant there, I'm not being serious. You know, all accounting firms, or many accounting firms, are sending these letters to their clients. I receive them myself, and it's purely one of those things where you just simply make a decision and say, look, you know, I know I always do the right thing, and even if I did get an ATO audit, there's absolutely nothing. My affairs are so uncomplicated that there's going to be no expense in dealing with it. And so, you know, that's the view I would take in relation to it, Ray.
Yes. Hmm. Apart from the pension that I get, I have a couple of very small investments which bring in a pittance.
Yes.
So that's my total income.
Yep. All right. Well, as I say, that's the purpose behind it. And so, you know, it's on that basis that you make a decision as to whether you need it or not.
Yes. And I think I'm only a couple of years off 90.
Good on you. They might want you in the Australian cricket team. That's a pretty good score.
Yeah. Anyway, it's for me to think about now. And there's no repercussions, I imagine, if I decide not to.
Oh, none at all. None at all. No. All right, then.
Thank you so much.
Okay, Ray, all the very best. And we say a very quick hello to Alan. G'day, Alan. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. Yourself?
Good, thanks. How can we help?
Earlier in the show, you mentioned about probate.
Hmm.
I was just wondering what the threshold is before you'd have to address probate.
Right. Well, there's no sort of precise threshold, Alan, but as a rule of thumb, if you have more than $50,000 in a bank account, if you have shares in a public company, so you've got a share portfolio, or if you're in you've paid an accommodation bond to a nursing home or retirement village at the time you pass away, then those are circumstances which would likely trigger a need for probate of your will.
Oh, yes. What about superannuation?
No, superannuation, well, again, it will depend on the amount and how you've left your binding death benefit nomination. So, for example, a husband and wife, if they have binding death benefit nominations in favour of each other, then it's just like insurance. The super will automatically go to the survivor. If it's on the death of the survivor and you've left the superannuation to your legal personal representative, so in other words, to the executor under your will to distribute in accordance with the terms of your will, then that very well may require probate.
Oh, yes. Mm. If you were distributing then to your children.
Yes.
That would be activated.
No, that's exactly right.
What sort of expense is that?
Probate. Well, look, there's advertising and other costs that are involved. I think from memory, including the filing fees at the Supreme Court, it comes in at around about somewhere between $800 and $1,000. And then you would have legal fees on top of that from your lawyer if you decide to engage a lawyer to get probate for you. Some people, if they feel competent and feel they can navigate their way around the legal process, decide that they'll do that themselves. But that really depends on your circumstances.
Yeah. And then is there a fee of probate charges?
Well, that $800 to $1,000 I mentioned earlier is basically what the filing fees are. There's no what people used to call probate duty. Some people used to confuse probate with death duties, but there are, of course, no death duties anymore, either state or federally.
That's about the expense.
Okay, then.
Doesn't matter how hard you think, you dash the time.
All right, then.
Okay,
thanks very much, Alan.
All right.
Well, thank you to all the people who've called in this morning and made it such an interesting program. I look forward to being back with you again next week for The Law and You. But until then, goodbye and God bless.